Three.
Jesus follower. Every Jesus follower can have peace in their lives by remembering two things. Number one, you get to pick what you ponder. And you need to practice what you believe. And I say every Jesus follower, because sometimes those of us who have surrendered our lives to Jesus kind of get comfortable and we forget, we get overwhelmed and we forget that the living God is actually with us and invites us to follow Him. And for those of you who still just kind of checking things out, not sure if you would call yourself a Christian or not, today's message, I hope, gives you the heart of God and why He would want you to follow Him. So, we're actually looking at a fantastic set of verses in the Bible today. According to Amazon, these are the most highlighted verses in the Bible. So you picked a good day to come to church. But before I get into them, I want to establish some context. So I'm going to need your help. I want you to think of some places that you do not want to be. Like, stuck in traffic is one example. Where else? Where would you not want to be? Work. Okay. What's that? A crowded train. Yeah. What else? The freezing ladies' room. Yeah. Whenever I'm in a freezing ladies' room, I realize we do not want to be here. Yeah. How about the DMV? Any DMV fans? Yeah. The principal's office, or the boss's office. You ever, this has happened to me a time or two, or three, or four, where you get called into the boss's office, and then he uses that phrase, hey, close the door behind you. Nothing ever good comes after that. You know, he doesn't say, hey, now that no one can hear us, I just want to give you a big check for like $100 million. I never get that. Prison, we want to be in prison. Someone said church earlier. I was like, come on, man. That's not right. All right, let's imagine you're in one of these places that you don't want to be. Let's, you know, whatever, DMV, you're stuck in traffic, crowded subway, prison. How might you feel, or what are some things that you might say in that environment? And keep in mind, it's the family church, so keep those phrases PG, all right? But how might you feel, or what might you say in those settings? What's the problem now? What else? Jesus, help me. Yeah, you might say Jesus' name in another way, too, sometimes. Yeah. Like, what am I doing here? This is wrong. Get me out of here. I bring all that up because we're going to look at some excerpts from a letter written by the Apostle Paul. He wrote this letter to a church, a group of people in the city of Philippi, which is a city in Macedonia in northeast Greece. Now, we talked about how we might feel or what we might say when we're in a challenging environment. And I did that because Paul is actually writing from a Roman prison. And he's writing to the church, the body of believers in this city, in Philippi. And look at some of the words that he uses. In this letter, two times he says, I want you to follow my example. Now, We don't know. Maybe in following example, he's saying, hey, watch when I knock the guard over. Follow my example so you can do it too. But based on what else he's saying, I think it's a positive example. Two other times he uses a form of the word thanks. He's thankful, thanksgiving. Three times he uses the word peace. Four or five times he uses the word joy. Eight times he uses the word rejoice. So you get the feeling that Paul is either on drugs, hallucinating, or he's experiencing the kind of relationship with God that we would love to have. And again, for those of you maybe checking this Jesus thing out, this is what we're talking about. Here's Paul in prison, and he is a free man. He's in a good place. He's not in a good place physically, but mentally, spiritually, emotionally, while he's detained as a prisoner, he's living as a free man. So let's look at chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Here's verse 1. He says, therefore, My brothers and sisters, and I'm going to just stop right there. This is a little kind of Bible reading 101. Anytime you see the word therefore, you need to ask, what is it there for? So let's figure out some context, because right now it's like we're walking into a crowded room and everybody's laughing. Right? You do that and like, what's going on? Like, what did I miss? Catch me up. I missed something. And so let me give you a summary of the first three chapters. All right, here's just some things that Paul is saying to the church. He says, you guys are amazing. He says, I'm so thankful for you. I'm so proud of you. God is at work in you, and he is not going to stop. Paul's also saying, don't worry about me being in prison. God's work will continue. He's also saying, live for Jesus. Don't be frightened by those who oppose you. He says, have the same attitude as Christ. Although he's the King of Kings and a Lord of Lords, he was the consummate servant. Be humble. Be a servant. He tells them, work hard. Don't whine. Don't complain. Instead, rejoice in the Lord. He says, watch out for those who try to distort God's message. Some of them are going to take God's free gift of salvation and make you think you have to earn it. Don't believe them. He says, follow my example and others who live for Jesus. He says, don't worry about life's challenges, because our hope is in Christ and he will change us forever. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. You get the sense he cares about these people? Hey, look at these words. Hey, brothers, sisters, those I love and long for, my dear friends. Right? He cares about these people. And here he says, verse 2, he said, I plead with Euodia, I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Be of the same mind. He's basically saying, would you guys get it together? All right, there's some strife. There's some arguing. He's like, stop it. Work it out. Figure this out. Verse 3, he says, yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. He's saying, hey, you community of believers, I'm hearing from here what's going on with these two ladies. Get them together. Work this out. Don't pretend like there's no tension. Let's address it. Work it out. And then he goes to verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again. Rejoice. Now, it seems odd that he would be in prison and encouraging others to rejoice. But Paul has such a peace about him. And he's not saying, put on a happy face, right? Fake it until you make it. He's not saying that at all. He's saying, God's got this. I'm in a good place. I am right where God wants me. I'm not alone. Rejoice. But he's saying, don't be happy about your circumstances. In other words, don't pretend, but be thankful that Jesus is with you. Be confident that Jesus never leaves you. Take comfort that God is in control. So if you get pulled over by the man in blue and he gives you a ticket, don't say, woohoo, I am so happy about this. That's what God told me to do. No, the reality is, hopefully you're realizing, okay, I'm a little overwhelmed. I was rushing because I was late. God, I just need to focus on you. I need to trust you. And now I'm going to need some help, God, paying this. I'm a little freaked out, but you're in control. This is a good wake-up call for me. I'm trusting you. Rejoice. Transfer the anxiety for trust. And really, when he says rejoice in the Lord, he's saying, hey, take stock of what you have in your life. Recognize all the good, and don't be overwhelmed by the bad. Instead, count your blessings. Now, let me ask you. Now, I won't do this, but if I called on you and said, hey, right now, give me the top 10 reasons you're thankful. Go. 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 Could you do it? And if you put it on the spot, you might get a little overwhelmed. But let's just start simple. Let's just think, you know what? I'm thankful that I have a chair to sit on. I'm thankful that even though it's not super warm in here, it's warmer than it is outside. I'm thankful that we have bagels. I'm thankful that at some point Greg is going to stop talking. There's a lot of reasons to be thankful. But I'm giving you the top 10 challenge. Here's what I want you to do. Homework. Some of you college students are like, oh, I got enough. And the rest of us, this is for everybody. Homework for everybody. I want you, if I put you on a spot, you can give me some easy ones. I want you to really think about this. What are the top 10 things that you are thankful for? That's part A. Part B of your homework is I want you to share that list with someone you love, a friend, a family member. Just sit down with them and say, hey, I just want to share this with you. And when you're done, I want to hear about it. Shoot me an email. Email address is up there. Send me a text. Hey, I did it, and you know, here's how it went. All right, let me know. Top 10 challenge. Anybody going to do it? All right, don't be lying now. All right? Don't be lying. All right, let's look at the next verse. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. So he's saying, look, even in the midst of the pain you're going through, be gentle. Be a person of peace. When you walk into the room, don't be the person where everybody's like, oh no, he's here. Instead, be the person when you walk into the room, like, hey, he's here, she's here. That is amazing. We're so happy that you're here. Right? It doesn't mean that we can't have a bad day. It doesn't mean we don't lose it from time to time. Life happens. But overall, who we are, we should be known as people of peace. And it provides some accountability that our actions do matter. I actually discovered that in a rather unfortunate and actually embarrassing way. I was at my bank, and this is a phrase that you hear never, but I love my bank. It's really good. Like, I walk in, they know me, but I actually went one day at a different time, right, out of my routine. So there were some different people there, and I was kind of an issue because I didn't have like all my ID and such. So they're like, sorry, we can't help you. And I was a little frustrated, so much so that I just kind of kept pushing back and pushing back and really kind of causing a scene a little bit. Yeah, yeah, look at me. I'm an idiot too. And I did get to that point where I used those magic words. Not those magic words, come on. I used those magic words and let me talk to a manager. So the manager comes over, consults with the person, looks at the monitor, kind of takes a breath, and then she says, Pastor Farah, how can I help you? Uh-oh. I was like, how did you know I'm a pastor? She says, well, right here in the monitor under occupation says pastor. I said, okay. I said, I'll tell you what I'm trying to accomplish, but first, I just want to apologize for how I've been acting. Just a little irritated. I'm sorry. I took it out on you know, your colleague. Don't suppose you guys want to go to church this week, do you? Huh? Yeah, I didn't think so. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. So in the midst of chaos, in the midst of strife, in the midst of anxiety, just remember, you're not alone. You know, God is there, and it kind of works both ways, both as accountability of like, hey, come on, let's represent. Right? Yeah, I died for you. Let's show some love, you know, to other people. But at the same time, he's like, hey, I am here. Call on me. Invite me into your situation. All right. Here's, we get to the Amazon top highlighted verses. Verses 6 and 7. I'm going to read them together, and we'll come back and look at each of them. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. All right, these are very common verses. If you've kind of grown up in the church, or you know, just been around the block a few times in the Christian world, if you've gone to a Christian bookstore, you may have seen a poster with these verses on it, or a cross stitch, or you know, something like that. And the reality is, they can be so common that they can lose some of their weight. They become so familiar, they lose their power. Don't let that happen to you. These are significant verses. In fact, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. That is a command. It's not a suggestion. Paul's not writing from prison saying, hey, you know what? If you got nothing better to do, don't be anxious. No, it's a command. He's saying, do not be anxious. It doesn't mean we won't become anxious. Of course we will. There's so much going on in our minds, right? In our bodies, in our lives, in our relationships, or in the minds, bodies, lives, and relationships of those that we love, that the emotion level, the stress, is going to rise in our bodies. So what do we do in that? Like, yeah, you're telling me don't do it. Well, I'm about to lose my mind. The next command is this. Present your requests to God. Right? So here comes the anxiety. I present my requests to God. Here it comes again. I present my requests to God. Here it comes again. We just continue. What usually happens with us, or at least with me, maybe I'm the only one, but the problems come. Here comes the anxiety. And I'm like, I got to figure this out. And I start stewing and brewing on this. And what happens, it bubbles over, sometimes because I explode, or I throw or punch something. I'm sorry about that, Dominic, when I did that the other day, I apologize. Or I get sick, you know, like our body, like things happen. This happens. And we even start to develop some spiritual problems because we think, God's not here. God, you know, where is God when all this is going on? But look at that next verse. Verse 7 says, the peace of God. When we do those things, don't be anxious, present a request to God. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Guard is actually a military term. Paul's saying, hey, God is going to protect you. Paul envisions God's peace as a soldier that protects our hearts, our minds, from anxiety, from fear, from doubt. I'm going to give you a very small example, and in some ways, I'm embarrassed to share this because I know some of you are dealing with some significant things. But just as illustration, a small example, I speak at church usually about once a month. That's kind of the rhythm. I enjoy it. And usually the week leading up to it, I start getting anxious. Start getting freaked out. Like, oh, you know, I got to do this. And I'm a little overwhelmed. And I'm just like in the zone all the time. And I come home. My daughter's like, what's wrong with Dad? And mom's like, oh, he's speaking this week. You know, so give him some space. I'm like, just a little chaotic. And so as I'm actually working on this message, and I'm being challenged by the command, don't be anxious about anything, but present your request to God. And I'm like, maybe I should apply some of this stuff. So as the anxiety came and just, I'm like, God, I'm giving this to you. You know, this is, I'm crazy about these people, but I know you love them far more than I, and so I'm trusting you. And as it came back, like, God, I'm trusting that you're going to, you know, do something here. And so all week, it was coming, and I was dishing it off. It was coming, and I was dishing it off. And to be honest with you, I had a very peace-filled week. Now, again, that's just a little example. I don't want to pretend that it compares with what some of you are dealing with now. Not at all. But the point is legit. As it arises, the command is give it to God. Let him carry it. Yeah. So how do we do this? Because everything is leading to this point. All right? Remember, I said, here's what we're going to focus on. Every Jesus follower can have peace in their lives by remembering two things. The first, you pick what you ponder, what you think about. And then we practice what we believe. Look at verse 8. It says, finally, brothers and sisters. Okay, so this is key. Right? We had a therefore at verse 1, kind of saying all those things were leading up to that. And then he talks about don't be anxious, present your request to God. finally, so this is it. This is the tip of the spear right here. Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Finally, so he says, here's what you do. You pick what you ponder. Is it true? Is it something pure or lovely? Is it praiseworthy? Well, think about those things. Is it causing you stress? Is it causing you anger? Is it causing you frustration? Those aren't on the list. Don't ponder those. You pick what you ponder. And you're like, that's stress. I now got to make a list of things that are pure and lovely, and that's overwhelming. All of those things? It's a church. It's very easy. Jesus. Jesus is all of those things. Put your attention on Jesus. Here's why. We have an enemy. In John's gospel, which is like his biography about Jesus, he says this in chapter 10. I'm sorry, this is Jesus speaking. John records this. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. We get to pick what we ponder. Here's some words or phrases that not too many of us want to hear. I need to see your license and registration. That's a phrase I don't want to hear. Let's go to the DMV. That's a phrase I don't want to hear. Now it's a little more serious. Call 911. We broke up. I failed my test. I failed the class. My phone battery died. My car won't start. I can't pay my bills this month. I got a flat tire. I got suspended. We're getting a divorce. I got another DUI. It's a tumor. It's cancer. That can be overwhelming. It can blow you away. It can intimidate you. It can get chaotic. It can totally stress you out. But let's go back to what Jesus said. In John 10, he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. We have two people in this verse. First is the thief. The thief is Satan. The other says, I is Jesus. What's the thief's purpose? To steal, to kill, ultimately destroy. What's Jesus' purpose? Full. When some of those words or phrases or just life circumstances come to you and you start to get consumed by them, are you overwhelmed by that? Or are you giving it to Jesus? Are you casting all your anxieties aside? Let's look at verse 9. This is the last verse. He says, whatever you have learned or received from me. All right, let me just pause, because Jesus is giving us authority. He says, whatever you've received or learned from me, put it into practice.
I know you said you have authority. But you've been bad mouthing cops a lot. I have authority. You don't. And that being said,
hey, dude,
you only gave me like 3 minutes in the beginning. I feel like I have more time.
Hey, Mark. This is my business card. You know, this is what it says. This is pastor. I'm the pastor. So it's for this context, for this setting, I'm going to stay up here. I need you to sit down. All right? Thank you. All right. For those of you who think, that was weird, that was actually planned. Oh, nervous laughter. Whoo! We have a lot of police officers at this church, so I had to personally let each of them know, listen, Mark's going to come up. It's planned. Don't take him down. The reality is, Mark is much bigger and stronger than I am. He's also a police officer, so outside of this service, I have to be on my guard with him, because he has authority as a police officer to do pretty much anything. That's why this service is never going to end. We're just going to stay here where I can have some authority over him. A silly illustration, but look at this verse. It says, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. The God of peace will be with you. We choose what we think about, right? We get to decide what we focus on. We pick what we can ponder. And then we have to practice what we believe. As the anxiety comes in our mind and we start to dwell on it, we're like, no, this is not for me. I'm passing it on to Jesus. And if the enemy, the one who's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy, he's not going to be like Mark is very gracious. He's like, oh, okay, sorry. He walks away. The enemy's like, okay, that didn't work. Here's another one. Here's another one. Here's another one. But each time, remember, that word guard, it's a military term. God is providing protection. But we need to choose what we're going to think about. Are we overwhelmed with circumstances? Or in the midst of it, do we recognize God's got this? I don't understand how this is going to work out. I am freaking out. But I'm choosing to trust God. I'm passing it on. I'm going to practice what I believe. God said he's going to be with me. He's never going to leave me. He's going to provide for me. I'm putting my money on the one who walked out of his own grave. I am trusting God. So this week, you get to pick what you ponder. I was driving here this morning. I ran to Target, which was in Huntington, and so I was totally late. And if you're a state trooper in the house, retired or not, put some earmuffs on. I was aware what the speed limit was, but I was exceeding it, and I was just kind of laughing, thinking, you know, you pick what you ponder. I should probably, you know, there's potentially a consequence coming my way. I actually have the authority to let off the gas. So I was kind of cracking myself up as I was driving. I do that a lot. I'm alone in my car, and nobody laughs at my jokes at home, so I got to do it myself. But in the same way, we choose what we say. We get to pick what we think about. I want to close in prayer, and I want to really pray in two ways. I want to just say a prayer for those in this room who you've kind of been on the outside thinking about Jesus and church and all that. And the truth is, church isn't the answer. Church doesn't save. Church doesn't is not going to give you what you need. Jesus is going to give you what you need. Right? We are the church, and Jesus is going to equip us and empower us to serve one another, to care for one another, to love one another. But it's Jesus who is our authority. So I'm going to say a prayer. Maybe you want to, for the first time, say, I'm in. I want that. But look, those of us, probably the majority of us who follow Jesus, we get comfortable in our faith, and we forget that these aren't just words that we read. These are truths from the living God. And the Holy Spirit is poking and prodding us to say, would you put them into practice, please, this week? So let's pray. God, I do thank you for being a God who knows us and loves us and invites us. And Father, for those of us in this room who have just been doing our own thing and satisfied in our own efforts, God, I pray that this is the moment that they pray a prayer like this. God, forgive me. Forgive me of my sin. I surrender my life to you. I put it in your hands. I ask Jesus to not just come into my life, but to lead my life, to be the leader, to be the boss, to be the CEO of my life. I want to follow him. And folks, if for those of you who are Christians, just pray a prayer like this. God, sometimes I get comfortable in my faith. I get too casual. And I forget that you are with me all the time and you're inviting me to not just pay attention to you, but to follow you. God, when you say to walk, I want to walk. When you say to stop, I want to stop. Help me to listen to you and to pay attention to you. In Jesus' name, amen.